Hello and welcome to the Dress Circle. This is Michael Kanacki.
And this is Ted Otten.
And we're continuing on a very popular theme, and that's laughter. We did a show in August asking the musical question, will this make you laugh? Well, this is, will this make you laugh too? Because we think we need some more levity and laughter. Now, these won't make you guffaw. Some might. Most of them make you smile and maybe lift your spirits. And we think that's something we have to do right now.
And our first selection comes from a CD I bought in London called Sing When You're Grinning, Great British Comedy Songs. And we have someone who appeared on our first program in August, and that's Joyce Grenfell. This time she's joined by Norman Wisdom, and they are going to do a sort of duet called Narcissus.
Yes, it is nice, isn't it? Catchy.
What is it, Norman?
I don't know. Well, I know it. It goes... That's it, isn't it? You must remember
yes.
This. You've heard it before. Oh, dear.
Go on, Norman.
Shall I?
Yes, you've got an awfully nice voice.
Oh, silly.
No, I mean it.
La, la. La 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 la.
It's so
la,
rounded.
La 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 la.
Change of key.
What's that?
Different notes, silly.
Oh, la la la. I'm in. I got it. That's it.
La 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 la
la
la la la la la la la.
Ruining the music, this is.
Oh, please.
You'll go all bang in a minute.
Don't laugh. Absolutely.
I can't help it. Oh, no.
Joyce Grenfell and Norman Wisdom, two great stars of British comedy, presented Narcissus.
We have another duet, and this is an interesting duet because it's kind of a quartet. It's called Blind Date, and you not only hear what they actually say to each other, but you hear what they're thinking. Our duet is sung by Margaret Whiting and Bob Hope, and this is a piece written by Leo Robin.
This is the story of a blind date. The lady was 30 minutes late. Now listen to the chatter as they go for a drink. First what they say politely, then exactly what they think.
Oh, I'm so sorry I'm late.
Look at his clothes, what a sight.
Oh, I don't mind a short wait.
Looks like I'm stuck for the night.
What'll we eat?
Steak, of course.
Let's have a seat.
Eats like a horse.
Stuck again on a blind date.
Here comes the band, shall we dance?
Moves her legs like two rocks.
Music gets me in a trance.
Keep off my feet, you big ox.
What'll you drink?
Champagne, my dear.
What do you think?
10-cent beer.
Out of luck on a blind date.
Then we went for a moonlit ride.
But only to be polite.
By accident, you found my lips.
You kept hugging and kissing.
And kissing and hugging and holding me tight. You better stop it so late.
I'll cock him right on his dome.
Baby, your kisses are great.
Boy, am I glad we're near home.
Say you were swell.
See you, Jack.
You wouldn't tell.
My aching back.
Stuck again on a blind date.
Then quickly we went to the door.
But only to be polite.
And once again you found my lips.
You kept hugging and kissing.
And kissing and hugging the rest of the night. Thank you again, here's the door.
This guy's getting off cheap.
Only a quarter past four.
Uh-oh, there goes all my sleep.
I'll see you when?
Why don't he leave?
Call me again.
Yeah, next New Year's Eve.
Good night.
What a character.
Good night.
What a character. Come to think of it, she didn't kiss too bad.
On second thought, he's a nice-looking lad.
I could have been nicer. I'm a dope.
I should have been sweeter. Now, no hope.
Holy smoke, she forgot her bag. You forgot your bag.
Thanks.
Tomorrow night at 8?
It's a date. I won't be late.
On one thing we'll both agree. No more blind dates for you and me.
That was Margaret Whiting and Bob Hope with an unnamed chorus with a song entitled Blind Date.
I bought the CD that our next selection comes from because I was intrigued by the title and the illustration on the front. It's a Grammy-nominated CD called The Battle of the Mad Scientists and Other Tales of Survival. And I think I have found the new Gene Shepherd. Gene Shepherd was somebody I grew up with. He talked on late-night radio. Occasionally he played music, but most of the time he told tales based on supposedly his own life. This time it's Bill Harley, who, in addition to talking nicely, also plays the guitar. I really wanted to play the title piece of the album, The Battle of the Mad Scientists, but it was too long for our purposes. So the second longest piece, which runs 13 minutes, is The Great Sled Race. Here's Bill Harley on guitar and narrator of The Great Sled Race.
People, let me tell you, I was just about 9. I got the gift of my dreams at Christmas time. I came down the stairs. It was under the tree. It was a brand new sled just for me. Took up half the living room floor. The deluxe model. I wondered how they got it down the chimney. It was 6 feet long from its head to its toe, painted stealth black, disappeared in the snow. Teflon runners, handles to steer, 4 afterburners sticking out of the rear. Yeah, it was fast. My dad said I needed a license just to sit on it. Well, I called up my friend to tell him about it. I got a new sled, I screamed and shouted. It's the fastest thing in the USA. It'll blow anything you got away. I doubt it, he said. I got a new sled too. It's gonna blow your doors off. I said, I'm sorry, but my sled doesn't have any doors. My friend said, Bill, I got a sled. It'll steal your face right off your head. It's the fastest thing that you've ever seen. Or, my name isn't Danny Goldstein. I said, how'd you get it? He said, I got it yesterday. I said, yesterday? What was that? He said, don't you know, Bill? I said, what? He said, on the fifth day of Hanukkah, my parents gave to me. That was Danny for you, making up Hanukkah carols, trying to put the ha back in Hanukkah. He was a weird kid. Oh, yeah, I said, well, we'll just see. We're going to have a race, you and me. I'll beat you bad with my sledding skill. I challenge you to a race down Mammoth Hill. Mammoth Hill, taller than Mount Everest, 85 degrees slope. Few would ever survive a trip down it, but we didn't care. We were stupid. Mammoth Hill started at the edge of our town, stretched for 3 miles on its way down, crossed Main Street, took a swerve, and it came to an end on Dead Man's Curve. I always thought that was a kind of a funny name for a curve. I wonder why they called it that. Well, that very night, I was saved from warm. The wind picked up, and a big snowstorm came down from the north with an icy blow and dumped on us 12 feet of snow. Over the rooftops, over the telephone poles, halfway up to the sky. I always tell the truth. The very next morning, the sun came out, snow started to melt. I started to shout, I waxed down the runners. It gave me a thrill to think about the race down Mammoth Hill. I pulled my sled down the street with a nod and a wave to everybody I meet. The word was out everywhere, every place. Everybody knew about the big race. It was bigger than the Super Bowl, bigger than the World Cup, bigger than the Tiddlywinks Championship. It took me 3 hours without a stop to pull my sled up to the very top. I sat on my sled to catch my breath. I looked down the hill. I was scared to death. I couldn't even see the bottom. Clouds were in the way. Airplanes passing beneath my feet. Had to put on the oxygen mask that had been provided with the sled. Danny showed up just about then. I was gonna tell him about my sled again. I was gonna say, you know, my sled, it's so fine. And then I saw his sled was just like mine. Same model, same Teflon runners, same afterburners. Huh, I said, I wonder how that happened. Well, Danny saw it the same as me. He said, fine, buddy, now we'll see. The sleds are the same, now it's just skill. The wind's a race down Mammoth Hill. And I have been in training at the Olympic Sledding Center. Beneath this snowsuit is a physique not unlike that of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Oh yeah, I said, oh yeah, said he. Oh yeah, I said, oh yeah, said he. Oh yeah, 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 oh yeah. Danny and I always had very intelligent conversations. Danny said, the race can now begin, and at the end, may the best man win. We sat on the sleds, pulled the goggles over our eyes, pushed the sleds to the top of the rise. Crowd was huge, they cheered and yelled, blew on trumpets, rang on bells, hung out banners, hung out signs, some on his side, some on mine, all five of them. My little brother was cheering for Danny. I gave him a shove, he fell over. Got stuck there in the snow in a snowsuit. Couldn't get up. On your mark, somebody said. I held my breath. They said, get set. Then everybody hollered, go! They gave our sleds a shove in the ice and snow. And down we went. Picking up speed. Obeying the rules of physics. Well, those sleds were fast, those sleds were quick. Those Teflon-coated runners slick. Faster, faster, down I sped. Where was Danny? I turned my head. He was right beside me. We were nose and nose, neck and neck. Snow boot and snow boot. Quarter way down, we hit a bump. It acted like some alpine jump. Both our sleds went up in the air. We held on tight. We didn't care. We were flying like birds, like planes, like two idiots with no regard for their lives. When we came down, I bounced and bumped. The next thing I knew, I was on my rump. Still on the sled, but turned around. Looking up the hill, headed down. Looked over at Danny, he was facing the same way. We were like two ostriches with their heads stuck in the sand, not wanting to see what was about to happen next. Whoa, said Danny. Whoa, said I. I think that I am gonna die. I looked at Danny. He gave me a grin. He said, I might die, but first I'll win. And then he did it. He put on the afterburners. What could I do? I put mine on, too. My mom used to say, if he told you to jump off a cliff, would you do it? I guess I would, because I did. We were headed down backward under rocket power at speed approaching 200 miles an hour. The runners were screaming, the wind was blowing. I turned around to see where we were going, and that's when I saw her. Mrs. Tarbuckle, married to Mr. Tarbuckle, the school principal. I dug my boots into the passing snow, but the sled didn't stop, it didn't slow, it didn't have brakes, it didn't have shocks. My boots wore through, right clear to my socks, bare feet, hanging off the back edge of the sled. Danny's feet were bare too, all 20 toes, going from pink to red to blue, trying to stop. Get out the way, I heard Danny cry. Get out the way, we're gonna die. Get out of the way, Danny yelled. Get out of the way, or we'll be expelled. But Mrs. Tarbuckle didn't hear us. She just kept crossing the street there, taking her little dog Fifi for a walk, looking for a place to do its business. Finally, she saw us on our sleds. Her eyes popped right out of her head. Somewhere halfway there in the intersection, we hit her right in her midsection. Up she went, turning the somersaults. Little Fifi doing a little acrobat routine too, attached to the leash. It was like Mary Lou Retton and Nadia Comaneci together for the first time. Well, the next thing I knew, something lands on my chest. I can't tell north from south or east or west. My sled's kind of crowded. There's not much space because Mrs. Tarbuckle's joined the race. Sprawled across both of our sleds. Dog leash tied up in the runners. Two sleds locked together in a death-defying dance. Fifi barking, chewing on my socks. All of us screaming together. Now that we knocked Mrs. Tarbuckle off her feet, I must confess, she was not petite. She was large in nature, round and heavy, and we picked up speed like a two-ton Chevy truck, or a tractor trailer, or meteor, or some other unheavenly body. Hundreds of people screamed and cried, dodged for cover as we flew by, onward, onward, down, 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 through the outskirts into town. Some people say they didn't even see us go by. We were going by so fast. Didn't believe it happened. But I know you do. We were headed down, both straight and true. I thought that we might just get through. We rode those sleds with skill and nerve. When up ahead I saw it. Dead Man's Curve. I see that curve coming. It's coming to the bend. Danny and I looked at each other and said, uh-oh. My hair stood on end. White were my knuckles. There were shrieks and screams from Mrs. Tarbuckle. Get me off this thing, you toad! Don't worry, said Danny. We're almost through. Just like falling out of an airplane, he said. It's only the last second or two that's gonna hurt. The snow was banked there at the turn. We twisted our sleds, the runners churned. The curve was sharp, our speed was great. The sleds, they turned. Too little, too late. Stupid sleds! We're not gonna make it!
I cannot tell you
just what passed. I thought those moments were my last. I remember the snow in my face and my eyes. I remember coming to, looking up in the sky, wondering, am I dead? And I knew I wasn't, because I heard Fifi sniffing around me, looking for a place to do her job. Danny lay beside me, his eyes open wide, and our twisted sleds lay side by side. When we raised our heads, we could see Mrs. Turbuckle, stuck up in a tree. What's she doing up there? Danny asked. I don't know, I said. Maybe she likes to climb. Well, we shook the cobwebs from out of our heads and picked up our twisted, ruined sleds. A little bruised, but still no harm. We walked home arm in arm. After we helped Mrs. Turbuckle down from the tree, with a little help from the fire department. So Danny and I are living still. We survived the race down Mammoth Hill, though back in school we had to stay inside from recess till sometime in May, wiping off the lunch tables, wiping down the blackboards, writing 5,000 times, "I will stop my sled at the intersection." I don't ride sleds anymore, too dangerous. I climb mountains, bungee jump, skydive, and tell stories.
Bill Harley brought you The Great Sled Race from his CD called The Battle of the Mad Scientists and Other Tales of Survival.
We'll let the next song speak for itself. There's a logic in here somewhere. Here are Lonzo and Oscar to perform I'm My Own Grandpa.
It sounds funny, I know, but it really is so. Oh, I'm my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. It sounds funny, I know, but it really is so. Oh, I'm my own grandpa. Now many, many years ago, when I was 23, I was married to a widder who was pretty as could be. This widder had a grown-up daughter who had hair of red. My father fell in love with her, and soon they two were wed. This made my dad my son-in-law and changed my very life. My daughter was my mother, 'cause she was my father's wife. To complicate the matter, even though it brought me joy, I soon became the father of a bouncing baby boy. My little baby then became a brother-in-law to dad, and so became my uncle, though it made me very sad. For if he was my uncle, then that also made him brother of the widder's grown-up daughter, who of course was my stepmother. I'm my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. It sounds funny, I know, but it really is so. Oh, I'm my own grandpa. Father's wife then had a son who kept him on the run, and he became my grandchild, for he was my daughter's son. My wife is now my mother's mother, and it makes me blue, because although she is my wife, she's my grandmother too. I'm my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. It sounds funny, I know, but it really is so. Oh, I'm my own grandpa. Now if my wife is my grandmother, then I'm her grandchild. And every time I think of it, it nearly drives me wild. For now I have become the strangest case you ever saw. As husband of my grandmother, I am my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. It It sounds funny, I know, but it really is so. Oh, I'm my own grandpa.
That was Lonzo and Oscar with I'm My Own Grandpa. Now, if that didn't make you laugh, the next one surely will.
This one is tied to our usual repertoire of Broadway and Hollywood music. It comes from a Broadway musical by Johnny Mercer called Top Banana, and it's a song called A Dog Is Man's Best Friend. It's performed by Phil Silvers, Ted Morgan, and the Three Grenadiers.
What are you going to do with the dog act on your program?
I'm dedicating this to my quinine friends.
Canine.
That's what it said, canine. All right, now wait a minute. We'll do the number. Here. Danny, you sing baritone. Claude, second Barry. Joe, sing tenor. The dog sings lead. When I'm blue and lonesome too, nobody understands me like my dog. That was true. Don't look for a two-legged friend. Get a four-legged. Oh, shut up when I'm talking! As you travel along life's highway and you want a true new friend, someone you can. Will you just wag your tail when I'm talking, please? If you ever want a true and loyal friend when you come home from that long day's toil and you want someone you can trust, buy a cat! Oh, baby, don't my old anxiety. Nobody
Phil Silvers, Ted Morgan, and the Three Grenadiers brought you A Dog Is Man's Best Friend.
And don't forget the dog singing lead. This is Michael Kanacki.
And this is Ted Otten.
And we're asking you the musical question, will this make you laugh too, on The Dress Circle? Well, our next song is one that's uplifting, makes you feel good, and it makes us smile because we remember the scene in the film. We're going back to Whoopi Goldberg's appearance in Sister Act, and there were several places that made us very happy, but this one, for some reason, was just so uplifting. We thought we would include it this time because this is where that group of interesting sisters finally gets their act together and does an incredible job when they find out they can come together and sing. This is Hail Holy Queen, and here are Whoopi Goldberg, Wendy McKenna, that little blonde who finally finds her voice, and that incredible descant war cry of Kathy Najimy, along with the Nuns Chorus with Hail Holy Queen.
enter Maratha.
Sanctus, Sanctus Dominus.
Vergare spice mate aspice.
Sanctus, Sanctus Dominus.
If you haven't seen Sister Act, we highly recommend it. That was Whoopi Goldberg, Wendy McKenna, Kathy Najimy, and the Nuns Chorus with Hail Holy Queen.
If there's only one tree that your irate wife can't climb, you don't want to see it cut down. And that's the story behind our next song. Woodman, Woodman, Spare That Tree is sung here by Phil Harris.
There's a tree grows near our house. It's been there quite some time. Now the tree is a slippery elm tree and awful hard to climb. But when my wife gets after me in that tree, I always roost. Why, I can go right up it just like a healthy squirrel. I don't never need no boost. But the other day, a woodman came round to chop my refuse down. Kept mumbling something about wanting to split it into kindling wood and then spread it around the town. I said to him, I said, look here, my friend, hold on, desist, woe, stop. Put down that forest razor. Chop not a single chop. Woodman, woodman, spare that tree. Touch not a single bough. 3 years it has protected me, and I'll protect it now. Go chop an oak, get a birch or pine, but save old Slippery there, that's mine. That's the only tree that my wife can't climb, Mr. Woodman. Spare it for me. I said to him, I said, Woody, can you see that hole way up near that old treetop? I got $5 in soft money up there, and it's yours if you refuse to chop. Now, no one can climb that tree but me, because really, friend, it's too slippery. Fact of the matter is, I can't get up there very well myself, lest my wife is after me. Now, I'm going to go home and get my wife and proceed to call her a very naughty word. Then all you do is stand by while I do that imitation of a bird. Now, you ain't going to know just where I go, that is, while my wife's around. But the only thing I ask you, Mr. Woodman, if you don't see me here on the ground, Woody, you gonna spare that tree, touch not a single bough, 'cause I'm gonna drop old five down to thee, the one I promised thou. Oh, but you must make that axe behave, because old Slippery there just must be saved. That's a borderline between me and the grave. Mr. Woodman, spare it. Spare that tree for me.
Phil Harris sang Woodman, Woodman, Spare That Tree.
Now, Ted is making me announce this because he knows how much I don't like our next singer. When I was a child, he gave me the willies, and he does so today. But it is hysterical the way this song was used. We're going to Slim Whitman singing a Frimmel, Harbach, and Hammerstein song called Indian Love Call. And I used to like this song. But Slim Whitman yodels through it and changes all things, tempo and everything else. And if you know the film Mars Attacks, this is why I love this rendition of Indian Love Call, because it made the Martians' heads explode.
When I'm
calling you. Will you answer to? I offer my love to you, to be your own. If you refuse me, I will be blue and waiting all along. But if when you hear my love call ringing,
Martians' heads are exploding all over the world. That was Slim Whitman with Indian Love Call.
Soon after our program in August, a longtime listener sent us an email that said, how could you leave out Jonathan and Darlene Edwards? And so we're going to remedy that right now. Jonathan and Darlene Edwards were the pseudonyms of Joe Stafford and Paul Weston, who were great musicians, and they made several LPs of songs done badly. And we have a selection from Jonathan and Darlene's greatest hits, one of the LPs that has made it onto CD. So here are our forgotten performers, Joe Stafford and Paul Weston, with Stayin' Alive. And this is a version the Bee Gees didn't like.
Somebody help me, yeah. shoes. I'm a dancing gal and I just can't lose. You know, it's all right, it's okay. I live to see another day. We can try to understand the New York Times effect on man. Whether you're a brother or whether you're a mother, you're staying alive, feel the city breaking and everybody shaking. We're staying alive, staying alive.
Joe Stafford and Paul Weston as Jonathan and Darlene Edwards brought you Stayin' Alive.
You laughed. You know you laughed. Now, they were serious in being bad. Our next performer was just serious. She just enjoyed singing, and she got her own recordings done. And no, it's not Florence Foster Jenkins. This was the pop version of Florence Foster Jenkins, and her name was Mrs. Miller, an American housewife who was actually hired by Capitol, and Capitol put out many of her recordings. And after they dropped her, she paid for her own recordings. And this was one of her big hits. It charted at, I think, 85. And the 45 had a flip side that charted at 92. So say what you want, the woman charted. Here is Mrs. Miller with Tony Hatch's Downtown. And she whistles, too.
Making you lonely, you can always go downtown. You've got worries and all the noise and the hurry seem to help, I know. Downtown, don't listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalk where the neon signs are pretty. How can you lose? The lights so much brighter there. You can forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. Around and let your problems surround you. There are movie shows downtown. Maybe you know some little places to go where they never close. Downtown, just listen to the rhythm of a gentle bossa nova. You'll be dancing with some too before the night is over. Happy again. The lights are much brighter there. You can forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. So go downtown, where all the lights are bright. Downtown, waiting for you tonight. Downtown, you're gonna be alright now.
Forget all our cares.
That was Mrs. Miller with a rendition of Downtown unlike anything you have ever heard before.
I was a senior in high school, and someone gave me a ticket to a Broadway show called At the Drop of a Hat. I had no idea what to expect. And we're going to do two songs that were used in that Broadway show. The first one we're going to use because I like, and the second song, I was amazed at the end. It was one of the last songs in the show. And 1,200 people sang along with the performers on stage because they knew it and they loved it. But I'm going to be announcing a shorter song called A Gnu. And this is Michael Flanders and Donald Swan.
A year ago, last Thursday, I was strolling in the zoo when I met a man who thought he knew the lot. He was laying down the law about the habits of baboons and the number of quills a porcupine has got. So I asked him, "What's that creature there?" He answered, "It's a helk." I might have gone on thinking that was true if the animal in question hadn't put that chap to shame and remarked, "I ain't a helk. I'm a gnu. I'm a gnu. I'm a gnu. The gnicest work of nature in the zoo. I'm a gnu. How do you do? You really ought to canoe wahoos wahoo. I'm a gnu. Spelt G-N-U. I'm not a camel or a kangaroo. So let me introduce, I'm neither man or moose. So gnu, 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 I'm a gnu. I had taken furnished lodgings down at Rustington-on-Sea, whence I travelled on to Ashton-under-Lyme, it was actually. And the second night I stayed there, I was wakened from a dream, which I'll tell you all about some other time. Among the hunting trophies on the wall above my bed, stuffed and mounted, was a face I thought I knew. A bison? No, it's not a bison. An okapi? It's unlikely, really. Could it be a hearty beast? Then I seemed to hear a voice. I'm a gnu. I'm a gnu. A another gnu. I wish I could gnash my teeth at you. I'm a gnu. How do you do? You really ought to canoe wahoos wahoo. I'm a gnu, spelt G-N-U. Call me bison or a copy and I'll sue. Gnor am I in the least like that dreadful, hearty beast. Oh, gnu, gnu, gnu. Gnu, 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 I'm a gnu. Gnu, gnu, gnu. I'm a gnu.
Gnu, 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 I'm a gnu. Was brought to you by Michael Flanders and Donald Swan.
Now, they were on Broadway with this performance at the drop of a hat for 215 performances, which, if you think about, is pretty good when the only thing on stage was a piano. And these two gentlemen sang these pleasant songs and made people happy. What's wrong with that?
Nobody wanted to leave.
I can imagine that. Well, let's play the song that they're probably best known for and everybody sings along. It's called The Hippopotamus. It's best known by most people as Mud, Mud, Glorious Mud.
The very first of the animal songs. Some people think the title of this song is irrelevant. But it's not irrelevant. It's a hippopotamus.
A bone hippopotamus was standing one day on the banks of the cool Shalimar. He gazed at the bottom as it peacefully lay by the light of the evening star. Away on a hilltop sat combing her hair his fair hippopotamine maid. The hippopotamus was no ignoramus and sang her this sweet serenade. Mud, mud, glorious mud, nothing quite like it for cooling the blood. So follow me, follow, down to the hollow, and there let us wallow in glorious mud. The fair hippopotamus he aimed to entice from her seat on that hilltop above. As she hadn't got a ma to give her advice, came tiptoeing down to her love. Like thunder, the forest re-echoed the sound of the song that they sang as they met. His inamorata adjusted her garter
and lifted her voice in duet in Russian.
Gryaz, gryaz, chudnaya gryaz, luchya sredstva kakorvnaya baz, tak vazmi svoyu damu,
follow me, follow,
и поведили ее в яму,
down to the hollow,
и там мы окунемся в чудную грязь,
there to improve our cultural relations. I wonder now what am I to say of the sea that ensued by the Shalimar side. They dived all at once with an ear-splitting splosh, then rose to the surface again. A regular army of hippopotami, all singing this haunting refrain. That's you!
That was Michael Flanders and Donald Swann with the song that I think they're probably best known for, and that's The Hippopotamus. And yes, indeed, everybody sings along with that, and they didn't mind. And it is amazing to think that these two gentlemen, being laid back and, I don't know, very simple in their delivery, just gave so many people so much happiness, and that's a wonderful thing to be able to do.
And there was a second show called At the Drop of Another Hat. Now, our side of the Atlantic also has a wonderful hippopotamus song, and I know we may be rushing the season just a tiny bit, but we have I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. It's sung by a young lady named Gayla Peavy, and she's accompanied by an orchestra conducted by Norman Layden.
Now, in our defense, even in MAME, she sings, we need a little Christmas now, and Thanksgiving hasn't happened, so that's perfect for the timing. And if Christmas makes people happy, I say decorate for it in August.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. Hippopotamus to play with and enjoy. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. I don't think Santa Claus will mind you. He won't have to use our dirty chimney flue. Just bring him through the front door, that's the easy thing to do. I can see me now on Christmas morning creeping down the stairs. Oh, what joy and what hero standing there. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. No crocodiles, no rhinoceroses. I only like hippopotamuses, and hippopotamuses like me too. Says a hippo is a vegetarian. There's lots of room for him in our two-car garage. I'd feed him there and wash him there and give him his massage. I can see me now on Christmas morning creeping down the when I open up my eyes to see a hippo hero standing there. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. No crocodiles or rhinoceroses. I only like hippopotamus.
hippopotamuses, and hippopotamuses like me do.
Our final attempt to make you laugh was presented by Gayla Peavy and an orchestra conducted by Norman Layden with I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas.
Unfortunately, that's it for us tonight. If you liked the show, please let us know and we'll go rummaging and bring up some more things that will hopefully at least make you smile, if not make you laugh outright.
We had many we couldn't include, including that 23-minute piece by Bill Harley called The Battle of the Mad Scientist.
And we haven't even started mining Spike Jones, which always gives somebody a giggle, and we'll hopefully be looking for that. Now, next week, we are going to be looking at literature for our impetus, because Ted and I were both English teachers, and these were musicals based on the great works, and maybe some that weren't so great, but musicals based on novels. Until then, this is Michael Kanacki.
And this is Ted Otten.
Wishing you a very pleasant evening from the Dress Circle.